Well, tomorrow is a very special day. Tomorrow's Father's Day. Here in the United States is a day that we acknowledge our fathers and thank them. Exodus 20, let's turn to Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which I, the Lord your God, is giving you. That's an easy statement. It's not always easy for us to do. Some of us have had fathers that weren't maybe so great in our mind, or even real great in our mind, but if we don't think they were, we also all know that they have an opportunity to be one day. For some of us, our fathers are accessible to us by either physically being able to see them, visit with them, or by phone or email, talking to them, visiting them, sending them a card. Yet for others of us, they may only be a memory. As in my case, memory of Father's Day is gone by. How many in here still have a father alive? That's good. I'm glad that Mr. Young Urban has a father alive, because he's sitting right next to him. Well, fathers are not necessarily created equal, that is, in our sight. For some, we may think of them as a good, very good, and in some cases, not so good fathers. We all have had that responsibility in whether our fathers are good, very good, or not so good. Sometimes it's our attitude that changes our perspective of our fathers, as it also did for our mothers. But it's our expectations and our selfish desires many times that dictate to us what a father should be. If we're really, really needy and they're not fulfilling those needs, well, we don't think of them as a very good father. But sometimes he can be a very good father, which can be to our detriment. We have what they call entitlement. You know, some feel real entitled about that. Well, fathers play a different but yet just as important part in a child's life as the mothers do. For daughters, especially daughters, they are many times their heroes. To one of my daughters, I was a hero. To the other one, not so much. The one they look to for support and protection. To show them how to stay balanced on a new bike without using training wheels. To help them pick out their first car and teach them how to drive a stick transmission. I went through this, my youngest daughter. And finally, that big day, their wedding day, when she has walked down the aisle on her father's arm to be given in marriage to her new husband. I've been there a couple times. I do remember my youngest daughter for her first car. She had never driven a stick in her life. If we wanted this car, we went and bought it. They come home, and of course, I have to drive it. So come that next Sunday, we get on this big parking lot nobody's using. We go through the gears and go through the gears. We do this for about 2 hours. And I look at her and said, okay, honey, let's go home. I got to drive. Yeah, it's only a mile. But she did fine. Now, boys, on the other hand, is a different story. They have a different relationship with their fathers. It's usually more competitive and sometimes more of an adversarial relationship at times, even though they possibly learn from their fathers how to fish and to hunt. There's still this very competitive nature as to which is the better fisherman. Who can catch the most? Who can catch the largest? And one says, I caught one this big. And the other one says, I caught one this big. Get their hands out a little more. You know, don't see those two fingers in there. You know. Or which one is the best shot? Is my car louder or faster than yours? You see what I mean? That's part of a relationship with our fathers. Yet in all this, they're being taught, hopefully, integrity, honesty, and about God's way of life to the best of their physical father's ability. Not all of us have the same ability. Having four children of my own, I understand that different ability because each have their own personal identity, their personality. You know, one of them can be in trouble and you look at them and they just melt because they knew they'd done something wrong. The other one will just fight to the bitter end. You're still their father. You have to treat them as a father. But they have to teach them the knowledge that they need, teach them how to be the breadwinner for their family, caring, loving husband and father to his own children when they become along, when they come along. So you teach your child to be a father when their kids come along. If you've not had the opportunity or recently read the book of the Ten Commandments, not the one of the, you know, coming down from the mountain, but I would suggest that you read it, especially under the foundation, we'll call the foundation for success. I can no longer see, call, or put my arm around my father, but I do think of him very often, even though it's been 33 years since he died. Our relationship was strained at times, and especially early on, the baton of responsibility is passed on from one generation to another. Honor our fathers and grandfathers, even our great-grandfathers, should we have any. Remember those fathers who in times past made our tree swings, mowed our lawns, taught us how to mow our own lawns, maintained our cars, taught us how to maintain our cars, worked hard to put the food on the table. Some of them even did the shopping, tended the garden, took care of the livestock, played horsey with us when we were little. That's always fun. You get to buck them off once in a while. Hold on, you're going to get off. Let alone a meaningful relationship with them. Though they were less than perfect, these fathers were told to honor them. Because remember, one of these days they'll have the opportunity to have that maturity that others do. Let's go to Ephesians 1, if you would, please. Ephesians 1, 1, 2, 3. I believe we've got the wrong scripture. Anyway. Whatever scripture that is, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Still, we have a Father in heaven who says, he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's Hebrews 13. That's part of 5. Yes, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But when we pray, we should always pray for in faith, according to Christ's instructions in the sample prayer, also known by many as called the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, let's go ahead and turn there. Beginning in verse 8, this was talking to the Pharisees. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before you even ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, today, this day, our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Though our physical father may have been the perfect earthly example, or the lack of thereof, our Heavenly Father has our complete interest in mind for each and every one of us. In 2 Peter 3, I'm just going to read this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Turn to Luke 12. You turn with me to Luke 12. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. In verse 31, it says, Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear. Your Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. Our Father in heaven wants us to have everything. Our physical fathers most likely wanted us to have everything. Could they provide everything that we needed or wanted? Not always. Most of the times they do good to provide the things we need. Many times we have those that want things they don't really need, we can't afford, you know. Tell you a quick story. My youngest daughter, she wanted a jacket. Her friend got one, but she had got one like at Neiman Marcus or somewhere like that, just, you know, paid like $200 for it. Well, we found the identical same jacket at a store that wasn't quite so expensive. Same brand, same color, everything was identical. We took them and compared them. There was nothing different about them. Excuse me. She didn't want it, because it didn't come from that brand name store. We bought it anyway. I believe she still has that jacket. This has been probably 40 years ago. She still has that jacket, and it won't wear out. And wives, also wives, please remember your husbands. See, without the husbands, you wouldn't have these children. Or you could have been a mother to them. They could be a father. Remember them. I hope and pray that all the fathers and the grandfathers and the great-grandfathers have a wonderful Father's Day tomorrow. And maybe you don't have a father around anymore, but you can always think about them. Think of the good times. Forget the bad times, because someday they'll know the truth and they'll have good times as well. Happy Sabbath.